Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to Overnight America. You know, today is Veterans Day. Anyone that has served this great country and anyone that continues to serve this great country, much love and respect to you. Observed all across the United States. There's a clip I wanted to play here, and it's kind of a sad clip. David McTamney is a retired English teacher, served in Vietnam. He'll gather with his other veterans at his hometown in New York, Newburgh, New York, and to honor his fellow servicemen and women.
It's a little bittersweet sometimes because you realize how many people that were here at last year's ceremony aren't here this year.
Ugh. We lose so many veterans a day, and you look back at how many World War II veterans are left. And I was lucky enough to know some World War II veterans, and, you know, part of the service club I was with, there was a couple that were there, and they were really into history. And I asked them about that and when their retirement, and at this time, they were living not in their original homes, the ones that they purchased after the war and lived in forever, but they were in an assisted living. And I would go and visit them sometimes. And some of these different places, they have it's not like cafeteria, but it's more like sit-down restaurant. So they give you a menu. You'd pick what you want off the menu. They'd make your food and bring it to you. And I would go there and eat with them at lunch. They'd get like so many meals a week. And they'd always have extra, and I'd go and eat. And it was so nice of them to do that. I really thought it was great. So I would sit down, and we'd have these conversations about the war and life and what went on for them. And they all were very fascinated with what went on during the war that they were involved with that they didn't really want to research or understand immediately after. Because when they got home, you know, they had wanted to start families, they wanted to get jobs, they wanted to work, they wanted to, you know, raise their children, they wanted to, you know, make some money. These are the type of things that they wanted to do. And they did. The amount of research in the history that has been documented since then when it comes to World War II has just been through the roof. There's been so many different books. And I found that in their older age and when they settled down, they wanted to go back. And they were always interested in the parts of the war they were involved in. And they would read the books and they would learn about it and things that were just so fascinating to them, things they didn't know, some things they did. They also still to this day didn't want to talk about some of the things they witnessed. It's a common trait with veterans. They don't like to talk about it. And when I hear the stories from my friend's there, and I consider him my friend, even though he passed a few years back. He said they freed a concentration camp, and he got to maybe a sentence into telling me about it where he said, when he started to talk about what he saw, and he said, I still can't. There's some things you just didn't have the ability to. There's a lot of different stories that veterans today, they just won't be able to put those experiences and the things they witnessed into words. And they don't have to. You know, it's not like it's necessary for them to give us a receipt in order to get respect for the things that they did for this country. Kevin Kling did a whole nother story on it, and I think this is the right time to air it.
They used to call World War I the war to end all wars. Well,
it didn't work out.
No,
Vernon Ambus started hanging out at Soldiers Memorial when he was just 12 years old. Now, age 60, a Vietnam veteran, he's the guard there.
They started building this building in 1938 to commemorate the war, to end all wars. And about the time they got the last brick in place, here come World War II. So,
Ambus has a lot of time to walk across the sunlit, echoey display area and look at all the old photographs from World War I.
You look at these guys, and all you see is like babies. There's one picture.
A lot of them never made it home.
Yeah, one picture here. Now, I mean, look at this guy.
He looks like he's about, what, 25?
Yeah.
He's got a good head of hair.
Yeah, yeah.
Clear skin, clear eyes. What does it say? Charles Walken Horst died October 21st, 1918.
Yeah. And when you look in there, all kids.
What do you think are the lessons of that war? As the museum tour guide, when you look at these World War I pictures, what do they say to you?
To me, they say, stop it. You know, it's... You have all these millions of men that, and women that lose their lives, and nine times out of ten, it's because of some high-ranking person somewhere can't get along with another high-ranking person somewhere. So rather than meet up and duke it out themselves, you know, they kill off all the little people. They send all the little guys out there to fight their wars. I think we'd have a lot less war if it was like back in the medieval times when the king had to be at the front of the army.
That Soldiers Memorial tour guide, Vernon Ambus. With a whole nother story, I'm Kevin Killeen.
What an awesome story. I wonder if Kevin's followed up with him. And we're right across the street from the Soldiers Memorial. I still have yet to visit it, and I really need to. And now that we're starting the show earlier than 10 o'clock, these 8 o'clock starts, it gives me a great opportunity to come in early and just go visit. I really should take advantage of that. I look outside the window and see it every day. People coming in and out. You know, I can see it right now. Kevin did a great whole nother story on that. This is Overnight America, KMOX. Overnight America. Guess what's coming back? Well, you know, they say it's coming back, but it's not like coming back. But it's coming back. I think there's a little optimism here because I don't think it's officially been signed in yet, but one of the biggest shows from the 90s and early 2000s.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Tossed salads and scrambled eggs.
So we could be seeing a Frasier revival hitting the airwaves. He sat down and did an interview with In Depth with Graham Bensinger.
But I don't know what to do with those salad and scrambled eggs. They're calling again.
There we go. Scrambled eggs all over my face. We did a thing on Frasier maybe last year, and someone called in to point out the fact that the person that did that theme song, I think it's from the Metro East, which is really cool. But so Kelsey Grammer was on and started talking about it, and he said, yes, there's a lot of reasons why it may be coming back. Now, they say the reboot is confirmed, but it doesn't sound like it's a hard confirmation. It just looks like it's a... We're pretty sure we're going to be able to do this confirmation.
A revisit to Frasier and Frasier's world is I think, definitely going to come.
Okay. Post-Frasier, we were taping an episode with Jon Hamm not too long ago of Mad Men fame, and I asked him, you know, how do you recapture the high of being TV's leading man? And he laughed, and he's like, you don't.
No.
How similar an experience was that transition for you?
Yeah.
Wow. Kelsey Grammer and Frasier, and we just talked about Frasier the other day. There hasn't been a good radio depiction on television since Frasier went off the air in 2004. Now, Jeff tweeted at me and he mentioned news radio, which was on during the 90s, but Frasier was on later than that, 2004. I actually watched the last show of Frasier. It was one of those, oh, it's the last episode, I might as well watch it. But I didn't really watch it at all when it was on television. It wasn't until after the fact I started to go back and view some of these episodes on Netflix. And it's kind of fun to see the dynamic between the two. His brother plays the character Niles, the David Hyde Pierce, I think is, he was such a physical comedian, I should say. Such a physical comedian. I did not really, at the time, give him the credit for just how good he was as a comedian. I mean, just fantastic. He might have been the one that stole the show in a lot of different ways, even though Frasier Crane, you know, was the main character and spinning off from Cheers and all that. But still, he was so good. His brother, the one that played Niles, so good. Here's a little bit more from that interview.
Well, Frasier was a giant accomplishment, you know, honestly. Actors get wary about, you know, successful characters because then they kind of like take away your right to play other ones. But that hasn't been the case with me. I mean, there's a bit of a, you know, he's still sort of there in my life always, Frasier. I mean, because he's a great character. So I'm remembered for him. But recently I've been playing a lot of different roles and I'm having a really great time at it. And so
I know. You check out what, it's like when a band that, you know, all their classic hits, they get up on stage and they say, here's something from our new album. And everyone goes, all right, if that means we got to get back to the hits, we'll listen to something on the new album. But he's pretty accomplished. Some of the other shows he's on have been really well received. The thing is, I just don't watch enough TV or movies to recognize any of those. I just haven't seen anything he's in. But from what I understand, he's in a series that's really good. But Frasier, now, I would watch that over again. And here's them talking a little bit more about what would happen next.
Without revealing too many details, what will it be about?
Well, you know, it's still his search for love, for one thing. You know, I think that'll always go on with Frasier. But a connection with his son.
When do you think it starts?
Spring.
Okay.
Yeah.
When do you think?
The airtime?
Probably
late. Late summer next year.
Late summer next year.
I would guess.
Maybe. That's quick.
Yeah, I mean, it's ready to go. We just got to sort of staff it and find somebody who wants to give us money for it.
Baby, I hear the blues are calling, toss salad and scrambled eggs.
Scrambled eggs all over my face.
Ain't that right? So it sounds like they got it done. Part of the interview they were describing, there were a couple of different storylines they could go with on this. And some people witnessed this in the past. They saw him walking around with a little Frasier folder. So either he's talking out of turn or he's pretty confident he's going to be able to get a buyer for this. I don't see how a Netflix doesn't buy something like this up immediately, you know?
I mean, that's probably not that difficult.
Who knows? You know, you never know. I mean, the business is funny. It's a funny world. But I think there's a couple of outlets that would actually be interested in revisiting it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You initially said you could not see yourself playing Frasier again.
Right.
What changed?
Well,
what do you think changed? Now, he doesn't use the term money here, but that could be a big part of it. You know, and you say, I never want to do something again, and then, you know, they come back. There's a certain fondness when you go back and revisit your work and you say, oh, I really enjoyed that. I forgot about how much I enjoyed that. That's what kind of gets you in trouble. So, you ever have that ex that you used to date, and then, you know, you're not together and you had all these issues and whatever the problems were. And then you start to think, oh, I guess it wasn't that bad, was it? No, we had some good times. And then you get back together and then, well, you realize that you could revisit some of those other problems. If you didn't fix what the problem was to begin with, you're doomed to repeat them, right? There's those underlining things you have to work on. So I wonder if that's going to be the same sentiment with Frasier. Is it going to be an instant where he says, oh, this is going to be really good, and then he gets into it, and he's like, I don't want to do this anymore. But with all the digital streaming platforms out there, you think they would just throw money at this. This is one of the most popular television shows in the 90s. This is almost as good as it gets outside of Friends saying they're going to get back together.
Part of it was the Roseanne revival, things that's kind of kicked again. And then when they were doing things like when Murphy Brown came back, and I don't know how, and when Will and Grace came back, I thought, well, it would be worth it. I've always wanted to be honest. You know, like I didn't think Frasier should be in exactly the same place as he was 12 years ago.
Yeah, exact same place. Now, help me remember at the end of Frasier, he moved away from Seattle. And I can't, did he go to San Francisco or did he go to Chicago? There's a couple of different markets he was considering leaving for. I wonder if he'll be in Chicago. Wouldn't that be a trip? We should try to get it so they write him into St. Louis. Yeah, let's have Frasier Crane working at KMOX. That would be great. Oh, Kelsey Grammer, if you're just up listening to radio, let's get you over here and we can get you down. So when did some of these other big cities, or at least some of these other things, are you sure it's San Francisco? In this article, TVWeb.com, they say his character moved to Chicago at the end of the original show. And it seemed like they were setting up for a revival. I thought it was San Francisco, too, before reading this. But either way, with all these spinoffs, you know that it would be a lot of fun to see this. You know a lot of people would watch it, and you know a lot of people would enjoy it. So you know what? Let's get us some good old Frasier Crane.
Scrambled eggs all over my face. What is a boy to do?
And they'd have to use the original theme song, right?
The problem I think you said.
Oh, my.
Oh, my.
And maybe I'm often misconstrued, but babe, I'll never pull your leg.
Well, obviously, there's a couple of characters that'll be missing. The father just passed away within the last year, the one that played the dad. And that was a real difficult thing, I'm sure, because he was such a main character. But, you know, the dog passed away, too, and after the show. So I don't think they would include that side of it. I wonder if his brother would still be there or if he'd be in Seattle. And that's the thing. His producer wouldn't have moved with him, right? She would have stayed in Seattle. That's where her family was, the Roz character. So how do they consolidate all those things? Did they just move with him? You know, it's kind of weird. Saved by the Bell went through something similar, too. Through their first season, it was Good Morning, Miss Bliss, and they were in Indiana. And they had a lot of these other characters. There was a different teacher. There was a couple of different kids. But there was a lot of the similar kids. And then there was the principal, Belding. And all of a sudden, they're in California, season two. Like, wait a minute. So did this principal move with the kids to California to a high school? No, that doesn't make sense. So I don't know how they consolidate those things. But you know what? In the end, if they're doing it, does it even matter? It's just fun. And I'm still hoping he's doing radio. Please don't make Frasier Crane a podcaster. Ugh. Keep him on the radio. He's so much better that way. Maybe they'll make fun of it. That'd be fun. I like podcasting, but still, please let it be radio. This is Overnight America, and in just a moment, we're going to go to AccuWeather. AccuWeather has a forecast in mind, and yeah, it looks like it could get a little icy when the temperatures drop tomorrow, at least through the overnight hours. We're not threatened with snow, but by tomorrow, you know, 6 a.m. to 4 p.m. type of frame, we'll talk to Carl Babinski on what to expect next on KMOX. Welcome back to Overnight America. I had to message my friend Drex over in Vancouver, and there's a reason for that. Said, I don't want you to think I'm cheating on you here, but I'm going to have someone else from Australia on tomorrow night. He said, wait, who? You know, who's going to be coming in from Melbourne, Australia? Jay Muller is his name. He was an intern for KMOX back in the 90s, and he moved to Australia. He's a great radio guy out there, and he's back here visiting family. And I said, hey, why don't you come in studio for an hour? We'll hang out and we'll talk about what it was like working at KMOX in the 90s, and we'll talk about what it's like doing radio in Australia. He said, absolutely. So I messaged Drex, and I said, hey, try not to get too jealous. I'm having another person from Australia on the radio program. And apparently they know each other, and he said, oh, I've always wanted to work with him. He's one of the coolest guys, great, great broadcasting mind. He said, insanely good programmer. So Jay Mueller's going to join us on the, just going to come in studio with us tomorrow night. I'm really excited for it. He may be listening right now, probably not, but I'm really excited for it. Well, we got some snow headed our way. It's going to be the first one of the season, and we were spared some snow in St. Louis just a couple of days ago, last Thursday. We were looking at the morning drive. What could happen? Well, we got lucky, and we're not going to get as lucky this time around. There's that big cold front that's moving through right now, and it looks pretty certain we're going to be getting some snow. Joining us now from AccuWeather, meteorologist Carl Babinski.
Hi there, Ryan. How's it going?
I'm doing all right. I'm looking at the different projections, and it looks like there could be some steady snowfall hitting St. Louis tomorrow. And I'm hoping that you can give us the latest on it.
Oh, absolutely. Well, first, of course, what we are expecting in the near term, some rain will be breaking out. We still have temperatures at this hour that are mostly in the mid-40s, so it's not going to be an abrupt snowfall arrival overnight. There will be some rain on the front end, or at the onset of precipitation, if you will, if you like to use that term, I do. And looking at current radar, snow is occurring along an east-to-west oriented band, which stretches from Wyoming and Nebraska right through the suburbs of Chicago. So essentially, as low pressure in the middle of the country intensifies, it's going to be pulling cold air down from the north. St. Louis right now is in the mid-40s. I can guarantee you that in 12 hours, it'll be a lot colder than that, and therefore it'll be snowing after daybreak tomorrow. Mm. And the accumulations we're expecting are not going to be tremendous, but because there will be a lot of wet road surfaces and sidewalks initially tomorrow morning, as that colder air arrives, it'll change any wet surfaces. It'll make them icy, first of all, and then you'll get about an inch of snow on top of that. So it sometimes is what lies beneath that snow. You could say, oh, an inch of snow. Well, that's not too much. You can just get out a brush and brush it aside. But beneath that will be a wet surface that will initially be wet and then become icy once we dip into the 20s. So that's where we're headed. We're currently in the mid-40s at around daybreak. When we do expect some rain to occur, it'll be about 37. By early on this Monday afternoon, on this Veterans Day, we're probably going to be around 27, 28 degrees with the snow coming down. Again, we're not really emphasizing here several inches. It may just be an inch or two at the most, but slick spots are expected on roads and sidewalks because of the icing aspect.
I thought the ground was too warm for that icing to happen. I was hearing reports that because of that, it doesn't look like we'll have any snow on the at least pavement side, but the grass areas and maybe some higher areas, you'd see some snow.
Exactly. There will be those surfaces which typically get the accumulation first, car tops, grassy surfaces, and paved surfaces are usually the last, but and you had mentioned another good point that it's hard for it to stick whenever you have a warm ground, but I think once air temperatures later tomorrow afternoon, once they do drop into the mid-20s, that's a game changer. The morning commute I don't think will be that bad. It's going to be the afternoon and evening that's going to cause us problems.
You know, I'm looking online right now at some of the different radars, and it shows the slippery travel Monday. AccuWeather put that graphic out there. I'm going to just give you guys a warning real quick, because I don't know if you're familiar with this one. It basically starts off with Denver, and then it kind of swooshes down to Oklahoma, then up to St. Louis, Chicago, Detroit. That's the Nike swoosh. You guys can get sued for that. I'd be very careful.
Trademark infringement.
Yeah, trademark infringement. Or maybe you can just blame it on Mother Nature. They're the ones responsible for that. Now, if you look at St. Louis on this map, and joining us here is Carl Babinski from AccuWeather, a little bit south of St. Louis, it goes from the snow zone to the freezing drizzle zone. So is there a line where they're not going to see snow south of St. Louis?
Well, yes, I believe there will be a few areas south of St. Louis that'll just get some ice. What happens is that cold air undercuts the moisture, and with temperatures expected to be, well, it's kind of a difficult concept to explain, but the layer of cold air near the surface will be so shallow that in some places snow won't fall. It will be a touch of freezing drizzle or some light freezing rain. But that's, I think, going to be in southeast Missouri. I think down in places like Cape Girardeau, for example, I think those are the places that are most likely to get the icing. And, of course, that's never a picnic. But, yeah, there will come a point where the depth of the layer of cold air will be very shallow, and so there will be more ice and less snow, or little or no snow falling whatsoever.
Wow. I wonder if that's going to affect kids tomorrow if they've called school off, and it's, what, November 10th, almost November 11th?
That's a good point. I mean, I grew up in New Jersey, and, you know, we're talking elementary school 40 years ago. I mean, times have changed, but I thought that Veterans Day was a day off.
Is it? I don't think so. No, anymore.
I mean, for me it was. That's what I'm saying. I grew up in a different area of the country, and it was always an off day for us. It would be a convenient off day tomorrow, no doubt. But for those who have to get out and about, it's not going to be nice at all. If you're not dealing, and again, we're not emphasizing. I mean, on a scale of 1 to 5, in terms of snow amounts, I'd give this a 1. You know, terms of the enormity of it. But icing, I think, will become a problem, especially after 2-3 in the afternoon because of those temperatures, which, by the way, tomorrow night, you know, this is just one part of what's going to be happening. We're talking about some frigid air and temperatures in the teens Monday night. When people wake up Tuesday morning, it'll be bright and sunny, but probably around 15 degrees. Mm. And just pulling up the we'll do that right now, pulling up the record low temperature for Tuesday's date. Tuesday morning, it's 12 in St. Louis, and that occurred in 1911. Now, there's an outside chance it could get that cold.
Wow.
We're going to be more like 15 or 16 degrees, but there is a record out there which has stood for 108 years. The record low of 12 Tuesday morning, that is within shouting distance.
You know, I kind of want to see that happen now that we're talking about it. Anytime we could break a record that sat that long. Carl Babinski, AccuWeather meteorologist, joining us. And just one more time, if someone's just tuning in with us, really, what's the time frame of when
the timeline? Let's describe the process. Sure. Well, we begin now with our temperatures late on the Sunday evening. They are in the mid-40s. Mm-hmm. And with a northeast wind, colder air will begin to bleed in overnight. So initially, or as I said, at the onset of precipitation, temperatures at the surface will be high enough to support plain rain. At daybreak, we should be around 37 degrees. And then later on the Veterans Day, tomorrow, of course, with colder air continuing to plow in, temperatures will fall. There will be a winter weather advisory, which begins at 6 a.m. tomorrow, and it runs until 4 p.m. Mm-hmm. All precipitation changing over to snow. And as you pointed out, too, areas well to the south will just get some freezing rain and freezing drizzle. Mm-hmm. Temperatures in the afternoon in the 20s, the road surfaces and sidewalks tomorrow morning that are initially wet are going to become icy. Mm-hmm. So hidden beneath that coating, an inch of snow, will be some black ice, and that can be very treacherous. So don't look at this as a major snow event, but one that's just a transitional period from rain to snow, and there will be lots of slick spots developing because of the rapidly falling temperatures. And then, as we just alluded to a moment ago, brutally cold tomorrow night. Skies will clear, but a lot of folks will be waking up Tuesday morning to temperatures in the mid-teens.
Yeah. Carl Babinski, AccuWeather meteorologist, thank you so much for breaking it down for us here on KMOX.
Absolutely, Ryan. No problem. Have a great night.
I will, and he joins us on the Air Comfort Service Heating and Cooling Storm Center as that one moves right on in on Overnight America KMOX. Well, we're here for a couple more minutes together. I had a few stories on the stack I wanted to get to before the end of the night, and then we'll be back again tomorrow night. Yeah, this is going to be a lot of fun tomorrow night. Former KMOX intern who is now a broadcaster in Australia. I messaged Drex and I said, hey, just so you know, I'm going to be talking to someone else from Australia. Hope that's okay. He gave me his blessing. But he said, this guy is one of the smartest programming minds in the country. And I'm really looking forward to having him on the show tomorrow night. He's back here in St. Louis visiting family, and it'll be kind of cool. So he's making a nice trip out of it. And he decided to come on even late, so we're going to have him on tomorrow night at 10 o'clock. And I wanted to get a couple of these stories out before we go. Here's one from pop culture. Country music star Shaylee Wright reveals she had a stroke after thinking it was just a migraine. How scary is that? I didn't even know this was a thing. She's still, country star and singer. I've never heard of her. I don't know if she's a star or not. So she took to social media 1 week after her 48th birthday. She made the announcement that back in 2008, she suffered a stroke. Exactly 1 year ago today, I went to the ER because I was on day 3 of a migraine, which isn't uncommon for me. Because I had shows booked for the coming weekend, I wanted to get this headache out of the way. Lauren and I dropped the boys off at school and then headed to the ER. The doctor saw who'd I've seen before was troubled by some of the symptoms of the day's headache and said, well, after a series of tests, I was informed that I had a stroke. Isn't that something? That is a shock and a half. You think you have a three-day migraine and you really had a stroke. Just turned 48. Said, I sort of knew it. Been experiencing a headache leading up to a different type of headache. Said, it's been a long year, but I'm doing okay. Said, the reason I'm sharing this with y'all is it might take a moment to refresh your understanding of strokes and symptoms of the stroke. And pay attention to your body. Encourage loved ones to do the same. Wow. What a story. And she's glad that she's getting a lot of support from people. Pay attention to your bodies is right. I feel like I'm one of those people that would just not go to the doctor. Maybe after having a migraine that long. I don't know. I thought the rule of thumb was if it doesn't get better in like 2 weeks, you go see it. But I guess when you have a headache or a migraine, something that would be more pressing, it would be a lot harder to ignore something like that. There's one story in Iowa not too far from us here. This is at the Iowa Correctional Facility. Okay, no, Iowa State Penitentiary. It's only a couple hours away from us here in St. Louis. So a man convicted of murder rushed to the hospital in 2015. His heart had to be restarted 5 times. He claims that his life sentence in prison should be gone, out of here. Why? Because he said, well, when my heart stopped, I was technically dead. And life in prison should have ended when my life ended, even though I was revived. He's trying to find a nice little loophole to get out of there. His name's Benjamin Schreiber, found guilty of first-degree murder in 97, sentenced to life behind bars without the possibility of parole, and was hospitalized for large kidney stones, developed into a septic poisoning. He said that he signed a do-not-resuscitate agreement. Medical staff called his brother in, said if he is in pain, you may give him something to ease the pain, but otherwise, you had to let him pass. So, either way, they revived him. He's still alive, and he must remain in prison until he's actually dead. He's not going to be able to get out of this one. Nice try. You know, this is one of those where you can't blame a guy for trying. As much as you have no sympathy for the reason why he's in prison, I mean, if it's found guilty of murder and life in prison and he's in prison, you don't feel too bad. But it was worth a try. You almost got it. You almost got it. All right, one more for you. One more. And I'm doing pretty good trying to get this pile of articles down. If you woke up Thursday to a weird text message that seemed totally out of place, you weren't alone. This is from WRVA, our sister station. I think the Associated Press actually wrote this one. A mysterious wave of people in the United States got phone text messages overnight. And it was really strange. People that you haven't heard from in a long time, people that might have been exes. And this is kind of a sad thing, too. Some messages came from people who have passed. But apparently, under Sprint, a spokesperson said there was a maintenance update, and it ended up pushing through all of these text messages that didn't come through in the past. So there was a whole slew of these that were just stuck in text purgatory or whatever. And eventually, when they did this update, they pushed them all through. So in the middle of the night, people were getting text messages like crazy. Not me, though. I don't get text messages. See, people don't message me, which is probably for the best. 5 a.m., one person woke up. A text message from her sister that just said, OMG. She immediately thought something terrible happened to her newborn nephew at the hospital. So she frantically tried everything she could to get a hold of her family members until eventually they woke up and said, no, everything's fine. I didn't text message you. And it was from a long time ago. It was a text message she sent in February. The text her sister received wished her a happy Valentine's Day in another instance from February. That's how many months back. So T-Mobile called, and it said it was a third-party vendor issue. Verizon and AT&T did not answer questions on this. It might not have been just Sprint. It could have been all of them. But 25-year-old from California got an unwanted message from an ex that they stopped talking some many years ago. Apparently, she said, it didn't feel great. Not too great about that one. Good old text messages. You ever get that where you send someone a message, and then they don't respond, and they say, oh, no, I never got it? Don't worry. One day, about, I don't know, a year from now, they'll get them all again and just think about how terrible that'll be. Well, that does it for us here on Overnight America. We'll be back again tomorrow night, and I'm looking forward to spending more time with you tomorrow. And if you just can't wait and you really want to get a hold of me, don't text me. Tweet at me, at Ryan Recker on Twitter. Or if you miss any part of the show and you just want to listen to it over and over and over and over again, this is what I'd recommend. Go download as many shows as your phone can hold. Get on your podcast app. You got it on the Android or Apple phones already. But if not, you can get the radio.com app, and it's a great way for you to listen to the program. And you can get a direct link by going to kmox.com/ONA. Enjoy the rest of your night and sleep well.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.